Praise God that he has a message for us from his word today. We need to be shaken up in the world that we are to the realization that there is a God in control of all things and he loves us. Right? And that's what this epiphany is. It's something that teaches men and women of all nations, of all colors and races, cultures, everything, that we are small and God is great. Right? He is greater than any human being. He created every human being. And because of our sin, we disappointed him greatly, and he still loves us. He still sent his salvation into the world through his son to save us from our sins and to give us hope. And that is why we worship him, right? And that's why we're here to get together today. So let's get into the word. I want to first give you a little bit of an outline of what is going to happen today, because this service is unusual. It's not the kind that we've had before, and I'll tell you why. We are having a sermon, and then we're going to sing a responsive song. That's all part of the normal part of our worship. And then after that, we will have communion, which is what we do once a month to remember Christ and to take the bread and cup to remember his death on the cross and also to remember his resurrection. And then after that, we're going to do something unusual for us, which is to have a time of prayer, of healing prayer. And anyone who would like to come forward, we're going to have four, I think, today because Yasser is sick. We'll have four people come to the front who are our prayer, those who offer prayers during the worship in the course of a month. And you can come up and have them pray for you. Anyone who has a need for prayer of any kind, physical or spiritual, can come forward and we will pray for you, okay? So that's what we're going to do today. And the reason I'm telling you that is not just so you'll know what's happening, but also to let you know we're going to have a shorter sermon to allow for that. So I just want to give you some things to think about that I feel God is speaking to us about from his word today, and then we will prepare for communion. So Bethlehem, what does Bethlehem mean? It's very fitting. It means house of bread. House of bread. And that is where Jesus, the bread of life, was born. Right? And so there's this beautiful connection that God uses, just like possums and things like that. He uses things of this world that we see around us and maybe don't always appreciate, but having bread is important in our lives to eat and to sustain our bodies in a greater way. Jesus, the bread of life, is the one who sustains our souls, right? And so God, in his greatness and majesty, uses the simple things of life like water and bread, the wine that we're going to be using to remember his blood that flows through our veins that we rarely think about unless we cut ourselves and see it coming out in some way. But these things are reminders of us that we are his creation and that we have a life, a vibrant life running through our veins, and we take in food to sustain ourselves, but God wants us to eat of his bread, the bread that he has to offer, and to drink of the cup that is the new covenant of Jesus Christ. And so Bethlehem has a wonderful meaning for us in knowing that Jesus was born there. It's also a humble place where he was born, but it was also a house of bread, which meant that we would be directed in our minds would be attentive to the fact that Jesus is the bread of life. He is the only way that we can live and live eternally, and it's for all people to receive. And so it says in the first verse of chapter 2 by Matthew, who wrote this, he was a follower of Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For when we saw his star when it rose, for we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Right? And so this is a focus that we want to see here. They came, they heard about the king, right, that was born, and they came to worship him. Right? And why did we come today to church to worship him, to worship our king? And it's great songs that were reminders of this in our praise time together, right? So they paid attention to this star, right? There was a star when it rose, and they saw that. Now, it's interesting about these wise men. They were actually, we don't know if it was three. They usually associate the number with the number of gifts, but it could have been more than the three wise men. But they were believed to have been from Persia originally. They were Medes. You know, I had to look this up because the Medes, you know, you're thinking, okay, I've heard of Medes. but the Medes were actually at the beginning, people that were intent on having power and wanting power, but they failed in their attempts to, overcome other enemies around them. And so they turned in their hearts and became priests. Not the priests as we know it in the Christian church. They weren't aware of God as we know him. But they had in their own country, in their own culture, they had a belief. And they felt that the way to go would be to humble themselves. And in a lot of ways, they were comparable to the Levites. The Levites were the priests of God in the tribe of Levi. And so they were in a lot of ways priests like they were. And they had practices like them. Okay, so these are the people that came to worship the King, Jesus, right? And we see how they were drawn to this star, which means that they were also astrologers. There were astrologers in the day. It was actually a belief that every human being was born under a certain star, and that's why astrology today, people get into that and they start to associate themselves with those kind of things. That is not what we profess as a belief in as Christians. We believe in Jesus as being the morning star, and he is the one who has made the stars in the sky. There's a great song by the Getty family where they talk about like how great it is that he who put the stars in the sky gave himself as a sacrifice on a cross for you and me, right? And so this is what's all going on there, and they're being drawn not so much to the star, but actually to the star leading them to Jesus, the true light of the world. And he was born in this house of bread, the in Bethlehem there. And so these were the people that came to bring gifts there, and we know also that when they got there, Herod was the king, and he was also half Jew. Right? He was a person who was in control there. And when they arrived, he was of an age where he was losing his mind and he had lost his concern for people and developed into a really savage person. And we talked about him already a couple of Sundays ago, I think, so I won't go into too much detail, but I think that you've probably heard about him. Herod was a mean dude. He killed his wife, he killed his sons, he killed people who threatened him in any kind of a way, even if his son was his son, he didn't want his son to take his kingship, and a lot of weird stuff going on in this man. So when the wise men came there, he pretended to care about seeing where the King Jesus was born as well, and so he asked them to go and come back and tell him. But we know that an angel spoke to the wise men and told them not to return to Herod and let him know where Jesus was, and they left by a different direction, right? And so that is, in short, what is happening here. I told you it was a short sermon, but I'm not done yet. So Matthew had an intention here, okay? Matthew had an intention. As a Jewish man, he wanted to speak to his people, and he had a very, very important message for them, and he has one that is equally important to us, right? At the time, when we read through this, there were priests and there were scribes and people of those kind who were involved in looking into the scriptures and knowing the scriptures well. And the wise men paid attention to those scriptures. They did look things up, and that was what led them in the direction of Bethlehem that day. They read the Jewish writings. They read the scriptures. They knew about these things, and they followed that to the star that had appeared, and they associated that star's appearing to what was read today is our call to worship, right? That there's this star that was coming. And so they set off, and it took them a long time to get to Bethlehem, but they made it there because they paid attention to these things. However, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those who should have known, had little interest, if any interest at all, in Jesus being born. They had little or no interest at all in Jesus being born. Herod, a king who was over the people there, these Jewish people that were under his watch there, wanted to kill the coming king. His intentions were to remove the king. And so all of his training and all of his awareness of the scriptures of that kind led him not to find where Christ was to worship. And like he said, rather he used as an excuse to want to kill him. Right? But the wise men, those from far off, from distant lands, who had come on that day were Gentiles. They were people not of the Jewish faith, and yet they came to worship the king. Right? And so what I was thinking in this time that we're in, brothers and sisters, where we have a theme now in our church, keep your lamps burning. Right? Why are we keeping our lamps burning? Because we are waiting for Jesus' return. Right? And so which one are we going to fall under? Where do we want to be? Do we want to belong to those who have the richness of the scriptures in our hands and follow them and study them and hear about these things and have, you know, God speak to us in different ways in our lives through an epiphany and coming into our lives and revealing his salvation to us? Do we want to, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, have little or no interest at all in the coming of Jesus again? No. No. God would have us be ready to be anxious, to be searching these things. Yes, not so much to try to come up with the date, because God has made that clear. We don't know when Christ will return, but to be ready for it because it will come. Right? Do we want to have evil minds? Do we want to live in sin? Do we want to carry on lives that are sinful before God, like Herod, where we disdain Christ in our lives, that we give up our interest in him at all, that we even turn against anyone who is associated with Christ? No. We want to live in a way that is going to be loving towards God and learn from Christ how we are to live our lives. And that really, you know, it's the kind of thing that we cannot put into words, but when God sends even an animal, and a poor animal, to look at us with eyes that are poor and that are weak and are looking for just merely a place to go and rest, and then some pastor comes out and says, go away, go away, you know? So it hits you, right? And God uses miraculous ways for us to learn these lessons so that it will not just be us hearing a word or reading a word and putting it aside and then going on with life as is. Amen? So we want to have a change has come over me, right? I remember a song that was written a long time ago. Can't remember the singer, but a change has come over me. It's Jesus. He's come into my life. There's a change in my heart. I know now that I have sinned against God, and yet he still loves me, and I want to live for him. I want to sing for him. I want to dance for him. I want to do all that I can for him. But most of all, I want to learn of his love and compassion toward people. And in this world, there is a tremendous need, is there not, for compassion and love and grace around us. And we don't have to go into places that we hear about in the news. They're right here in town, right? They're right here in town, and God is speaking to us in our lives where we are, in a small town like Ridgefield Park, right? And yet God is very much alive and wanting and desiring for us to know him and to love people and to show them the way to Bethlehem, to teach them the meaning of bread in the sense that they eat every day is found in Jesus. Right? Those are the things. The last thing I wanted to share, just before we prepare our hearts for communion, is the element of the gifts, right? And these gifts have a meaning as well. And I believe that they were given with a purpose. So one of the gifts that was brought to Jesus by the kings was gold, right? And gold is associated with kingship, with royalty, okay? And so that represents that they knew, and whether they knew or not, that Jesus was born to be king. He wasn't to be king, he was king. He was born king. Amen? I said that wrong. Actually, I meant to say it the other way. He was born king of kings and Lord of lords. And that is the power of God at work there. And so the gold given to him was to address him as our king. And the frankincense is the gift for a priest. It was in the temple worship and at the temple sacrifices. The sweet perfume of frankincense was used. And the function of a priest is to open the way to God for men. And so the Latin word for priest is pontifex, which means a bridge builder, and the priest is the man who builds a bridge between men and God. And that is what Jesus was. Right? That was what Jesus, so it was a gift representing his priesthood, that he came as a mediator to bring us and to make the way for us to have peace with God. That's what peace is all about. You want to talk about peace with people in the world today? Bring the peace of Christ into their lives. It exceeds any expectations. It is not what the world is thinking. That's what Jesus told his disciple. I come and I give you peace, not as the world gives peace. Remember that? Not as the world gives peace, because what happens to that peace? It breaks. Because it's not of Christ. And the peace that he brought, he spent on, through his blood on the cross for us. And that is why we are worshiping him today, right? He opened the way to God. He made it possible for men to enter into the presence of God. Did you do anything of your own to come here today? Not really. Did I? Not really. It is only by the grace of God that we are able to do anything. He brought us here. And you know what? He brought the wise men to that star, not they. They did see those things and they paid attention to those things, but we need to remember God led them there. He wanted them to be there and he leads us also to himself. It's so wonderful. And then myrrh is the gift for one who is to die. It was used for embalming bodies of the dead. And so it doesn't take much for us to understand what that would mean in terms of Christ who died. Right? And it was a preparation. So in this gift, we see that it was a preparation for what he would do when he grew to be a man. He was a child, but this gift of myrrh was given to him to symbolize what he really came for, and that was to die on the cross for humankind and to give us eternal life. And so these three gifts are very meaningful and help us to be able to see Jesus. Gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, the priest that he was, and myrrh for the one who was to die, and that is what he did. These were the gifts of the wise men, and even at the cradle of Christ, they foretold that he was to be the true king, the perfect high priest, and in the end, the supreme savior of men.